Hallelujah. He's the reason for Thanksgiving. He's the reason why we give thanks. Hallelujah. He's forgiven us, so now we can forgive those that trespass against us. He's the reason why we can give thanks. He's given us permission to be thankful. Hallelujah. I want you to go with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. We're going to be reading from the, I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Bible today, and that's Acts chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 1 through 10. When you have it, say, I have the word. And if you're looking for the word, just say, wait a minute. Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody. How many of you all had a great Thanksgiving day? Hallelujah. I thank God to be able to spend time with loved ones and family or whomever, hallelujah, that does the will of my Father. Listen, if you're somebody that's, and we want to be sensitive to those that are dealing with a lost one during this season or whatever you may be dealing with, hallelujah, just remember the Bible says, whoever do the will of my Father is my mother, my brother, and my sister. That's your family. And if you don't have a family, today is your day. Because we want to be your family. Hallelujah. Amen. We have the word. The Bible says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, look at us. And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk. Verse 7, and seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet. I love that word, immediately. Some of y'all waiting, been waiting for a long time, but I love the word immediately. His feet and his ankles were straightened, and with a leap he stood upright and began to walk. He entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they were talking, they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. That was you. And they were filled with wonder, amazement at what had happened to him. Now, real quickly, I want you to turn to the next chapter, Acts chapter 4. And I want you to go to verse 16 with me. I'm going to be reading 16 through 18. And the Bible says, hallelujah, saying, what shall we do with these men for the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. But so that it will not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name. And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Turn me down just a little bit. Just a little bit. If we deny our worship in the name of Jesus, we put ourselves at a disadvantage. But if we work together, your faith connecting with my faith, we turn our disadvantage into an advantage. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to talk to somebody today that feels like they're at the edge of the gate. You're at the edge of it. Hallelujah. Pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you. We're here for you. We're here to hear from you, Father. Have your way right now, God, in this place. Do what you want to do. Hide me behind the cross. We want to be the children that you desire us to be, Father, but we need your word to feed us, to direct us, to guide us. And Lord, I'm asking you to hide me behind the cross. Do what you want to do so that we can, hallelujah, so that we can submit to your will. Hallelujah. That we will be the worshipers that you have licensed us to be, proving our witness, and so that your miracles can be unleashed in this place. We thank you, we glorify you, and let your will be done, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Touch your neighbor, say, I love you. Just say, I love you. Hug somebody, man, hug somebody. It's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving. Tell somebody you love them, you miss them. You never know when the next time you'll see them. Let me get that. You never know when the next time you'll see them. Thank you, sir. Yeah. Hallelujah. Worship. 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 Hallelujah. My praise is my worship. My lifestyle is worship. My belief in acknowledging who that I believe that is higher than me is my worship. It is my reverence. And I don't just do that by my mouth, but I also do that in my deeds. My actions prove my worship. My words prove my worship. The decisions that I make proves my worship. My worship. Hallelujah. I have the ability. My response is worship. My response is worship based on my witness. My witness. I have the right to worship because of what I witnessed. What is your witness? My witness. That means that I can testify of something that I have seen, heard, or experienced. I'm a witness. I can testify. Is there anybody in the room that can testify of the miracles that God has done in their lives? Because some of us should not be here today, but if it wasn't for the miracle that I've witnessed with my own eyes in my own, come on, somebody. If I got a phone that I can look at my, oh my God, this is blessing me. I'm going to praise you, Father, that I can look at myself right now, hallelujah, and when I see myself, I am a witness to the miracle in my life that gives me the license to worship him. The worship is proof that I am a witness. That I am a witness of a miracle. Of a miracle. Of a miracle. But if I deny my worship, if I deny it, if I don't worship, then there's no witness. And if there's no witness, there's no miracle. And if there's no miracle, then I'm at a disadvantage. I'm at a disadvantage. I have a disability. I'm handicapped because I decided to not worship. And when there's no worship, there's no witness. And when there's no witness, there's no miracle. And when there's no miracle, you're at a disadvantage. you're disabled, you're handicapped, you're crippled, you're stuck at the edge of the gate. This particular story opens up with Peter, hallelujah, and John, the disciples, the apostles of Jesus Christ, after they have encountered a miracle. They are witnesses. And because they are witnesses, they're on their way, guess what to do? To worship. Because they have the license to worship, because the worship proves the witness. And if there's a witness, then there's a miracle. And they're on their way to worship God. But while on their way to worship God, and they're, hallelujah, they're exercising, hallelujah, their authority, their ability, hallelujah, they run into somebody who has a disability, who's at a disadvantage. While he's going to go worship, while they're going to go worship, he's at the gate. And the Bible says that he had a disability. He had a handicap. He didn't have an advantage. At birth, he didn't have an advantage. And the people would come and pick him up every day and not drop him inside the gates to worship. They dropped him at the gate. I'm trying to figure out, was this his face? Who in the world? It's Thanksgiving. I'm trying to be good. How many of you feel like in your life you've just been dropped off outside of your worship? You've been dropped outside of your praise. You've been dropped outside of your dreams. You've been dropped outside of your success. Come on, somebody. You've been dropped outside of your fairy tale. I want my fairy tale. So you've been dropped outside of it, and somebody planted you there in the handicapped spot. Who planted you there? Was it their suggestion, or was it yours? You're in the handicapped spot. Who told you you were handicapped? Come on. Who told you that marriage wasn't going to work? Who told you those dreams wouldn't come alive? Who told you that divorce was going to kill you? Who told you that those babies, if you had those babies, it would be a mistake? Who told you that it wasn't going? Who told you? Don't you keep it real. Don't you start that business. You better keep it real. Who told you? Who put you there? Was it you that didn't feel inadequate? Or was it them? Who put you there? And this is why it's so important to make sure that you surround yourself around some Christ followers. Let me be specific. I didn't say no members of somebody's church. Who got the microphone? Because we're going to work that thing today. Make sure y'all have y'all Bibles. Hallelujah. Make sure that you surround yourself around Christ followers. What did I say? Not members. Come on. Hallelujah. Because not one of his friends just wanted, at least, if I was the friend, kick me in the game. I don't care if I, you kick me in the gate. But we hang around people who know the word, but don't believe the word. You follow me what I'm saying? You follow me what I'm saying? Just because people are spewing the word out, hallelujah, oh, this is so good. Just because somebody knows the word, don't make them a witness. Your knowledge of the word don't make you a witness. Your gift don't make you no witness. It's your worship. It's your lifestyle. Hallelujah. Bible says you will know them by their fruit. Say it to the church, church, church. You will know it by their fruit. That's that worship. That's their worship. That's their worship. That's who you hang around. Not people who just know the word, but people who believe. So I need the Bible. I need the Bible. I need the Bible. Give me that microphone. Give me that microphone. I need the Bible. Somebody give me Matthew 7:21. You got it? Preach the word. Matthew 7:21. I need you to hear this, because just because you have a gift, hallelujah, doesn't mean that you worship. Just because you say you know God, I want him to say the word. What does it say? Matthew 7:21. We don't do that. Read the word. It's right on screen.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
What? Stop, stop. Not everyone that says the name of the Lord. Well, I read in the Bible where it says, if you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Do y'all remember that? This says what, Elder Chris? Elder Rex?
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father.
Oh. Oh. So it's, go to the next verse. Let me see if it's something in the next verse.
Verse 22.
What does 22 say?
Many will say to me on that day.
Many will say what?
Lord, Lord.
Lord, Lord.
Did we not prophesy?
Oh, this sounds like somebody that got the Holy Spirit, though. Say it right there. Dave, this is somebody who has the gift of God. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, they know my name. Have we not prophesied in your name? Read the text, Elder Rags.
And in your name, cast out demons.
This person was successful at using their gift. But what happens?
Lord, declare to them, I never knew you.
My Lord.
Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
Stop right there. I don't want my, oh my God, thank you, Jesus. I want to hang around with folk that don't know him, because obviously, Jesus, you might know him. But what does he say? I never knew you. I don't want to be around a folk that know him and he don't know them. So that means that we got to get around people that don't just know him, but believes him. Hallelujah. How do you know a believer? Because their actions follow what they believe. Listen, listen. Hallelujah. Let me move on. Who planted you there? Who put you there? Who put you there? Was it your idea? Was it your idea to put you there? I can only imagine being at the gate where my dreams are over there. Success is over there. My worship, my praise, celebration. I didn't slam the ball. Touchdown. It's over there. Can you imagine? Who? Football fans. I'm going to get y'all at the game. Don't worry, I'm going to get you to the game. Could you imagine your friends, hallelujah, or family or whomever, drops you off at M&T Stadium? Boom. Right? Are you trying to be a witness to the game? Or are you trying to stay out here and pick up crumbs from secondhand knowledge? Put me in the game. I have to imagine that this man, hallelujah, perhaps, hallelujah, was also involved in this decision, because I would have crawled my butt in the game. Why? Because I want to be a witness. And if I'm a witness, I can worship. Why? Because I've experienced the miracle. But he's out looking for money that is here today and gone tomorrow, instead of the moment that's forever. He's not inside where the wholesaler is. He's outside where the retailers are. Come on, somebody. I want to be where the wholesaler is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His disability. Hallelujah. Disability. He's handicapped. How do we get here? How do we get to the point where we're not witnesses, where we're not worshiping, where we're not seeing the miracles, church, where we're not seeing the miracles of God? My wife and I were listening to a radio station, no lie. And one of the well-known TV evangelists, we'll say, well-gifted and everything, and you guys know this stuff happens every day, gets caught into a scandal, right? Now, listen, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Nobody can say that they haven't. But these individuals have done it publicly. How does that happen? How do you get to the place where you've lost the miracle, where you've lost, hallelujah, your witness, where you've lost your worship? I hope you got that microphone around. Somebody got the microphone? Chris, pass that to TK. You need that mic so I can get you in the screen. Hold on. TK, come over and stand with me, because I want you to preach. Come on. So I want you to go to, you got your phone? Hallelujah. Go to, thank you, Jesus. Go to Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 25. My man said, I don't need a mic. Go to New ASB, NASB, NASB. That's okay. Go there. As a matter of fact. No, I got you. Go ahead and read that. What you got?
Verse 21.
Yeah.
Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish heart was darkened.
So we're going to go right here. So because although they knew God,
they did not glorify as God, nor...
Whoa. Dang it. Here's that knowing and believing thing again. Yeah. Pastor, I know better. Don't mean you're going to do better. It ain't about what you know, it's about what you believe. It's not about what you know, it's about what you show. What that Bible said.
Nor we're thankful.
Whoa, slow down, preacher. Because although they knew God, number one, they did not glorify him. They didn't glorify. That means that they didn't worship him as God. But what did they do, preacher?
Well, became fruitful.
Well, no, before they did that, nor were they even thankful. We just celebrated the thing, right? But what happens? What happens when you don't glorify, when you don't worship, when you're not thankful for what you know?
You become futile in their thoughts.
Uh-huh.
And they were foolish. Hearts were darkened.
Hey, go to the next verse, 22. Uh-huh.
Professing to be wise.
Uh-huh.
They became fools.
Bunch of fools. Keep going.
And changed the glory of the incorruptible God to the image made like corruptible man.
So now they're worshiping something else. Keep going, preacher. And birds.
And birds and four-footed animals.
Uh-huh. So what happened? Right? Go to verse 24. Last one. Go to verse 24. Uh-huh.
Therefore God also gave them up to the uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves.
Go to 25.
Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie.
What'd they do?
And worship.
What'd they do?
Served the creature rather than the creator.
You can have a seat. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You sure? Y'all just telling me that because I don't go. So you see how it happens? You're worshiping something else. He's calling you a fool. And hear me. You go from. So finishing the story. So the brother messes up. He has to, and you see this all the time. These televangelists or whomever in leadership, it's not because they're not gifted. Some of them aren't false prophets. It's because they weren't thankful and they lost their worship to something else. And I'm going to show you what that something else is in a second. Peter and John are on their way, colliding. Hallelujah. They have an advantage. They have the advantage because they're going to go worship. Why? Because they're witnesses. Witnesses of what? Of the miracle of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're on their way to worship him. But they collide with a man that's disadvantaged. Hallelujah. And this man is at a disadvantage. He's asking for money. He's asking for alms. He's not asking nobody to pick him up and put him through the gates. He's at the edge. You're right there, dude. You're on 1 yard line. And the Bible says, this is the part. Touch your neighbor and say, this is the part. The Bible says that the man saw them coming. And when he saw them, he asked them, touch your neighbor and say, money. When he saw him, he asked them for money. And the Bible says that Peter fixed his eyes on him. So that means that Peter and John saw him too. So he was seeing and they were seeing. Seeing. And the Bible says that Peter says, look up on us. Look at me. Look up in my eyes. Somebody say focus. Hocus pocus. Focus where my microphone at. The eyes. The eyes. Pass that to Minister Perlissa. Minister Perlissa, give me Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. I want to show you something. Somebody say focus. Oh, somebody just got off their Facebook when I said that because they thought I was coming down. I'm giving you the mic if I see your head down. I'm giving you the mic because we're going to know the word of God up in here. You ain't going to be posting. You're not going to be posting, my pastor is smart. You ain't going to post that. You're going to say, my pastor empowers me to be smart. That's what you're going to post. What the word say?
Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth.
Turn her down. Turn her down just a little bit. Just a little. Go ahead and preach to mama.
Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth.
Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. That, listen, when I read this, it messed me up for like two weeks. I was mourning the mindset. Money in the cars, cars in the clothes. I just want to be successful. Hallelujah. Right? It messed me up for 2 weeks. This is Jesus the Christ talking. It's just not on red on the screen, but I'm telling you who's talking. Read the text. He says, do not lay up yourselves treasure on earth, but what happens?
Where moth and rust do corrupt.
Uh-huh.
And where thieves break through and steal.
Mm-mm. He don't want. Don't lay up for yourselves things that people can take from you. Or things that corrode and die on you. But what does he say?
But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven.
But lay up treasure in heaven. Whoa. That's a hard pill to swallow. But lay up your treasures. Hallelujah. For the wholesalesman. Don't lay up yourself treasures for the retailer. Those are bits and pieces. Give it to the wholesaler. What happens?
Where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal.
That's a better storage plan. Keep reading.
For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
I want the money. Money in the cars, cars in the clothes. Suppose. Right? For where your treasure is, your heart is. Okay. Jesus, I can end reading right. You stay right there. I can end reading right now, and I can interpret that the way I want to interpret it. But Jesus goes further. What does he say?
The light of the body is the eye.
Uh-oh. Whoa. Somebody touch their neighbor and say, focus. Look. Focus. What does it say?
Therefore, thine eye be single. Thy whole body shall be full of light.
Stop right there. I love the way her version reads it. It says right here, it says the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Her says single. I like the fact that it says single because it means I'm focused. I'm not distracted. It's not double. I'm not seeing double vision. Because if I'm seeing double vision, hey, I'm dug in all of a sudden. I'm stuck. If I'm seeing double vision, I can't move. I'm stuck. I'm disabled. I'm handicapped. I'm at a disadvantage. I'm losing the game. I can't move. My Lord. Keep reading.
But if thine eye be evil,
but if my eye's evil though,
thy whole body shall be full of darkness.
My actions are full of darkness. Go ahead.
If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?
My Lord. Now, I don't know what he's talking about. Let me just close the Bible because I wanted it to fall on my own interpretation what he means the light is and what he means the dark is. I want to close my Bible. I don't want to read another verse because I want my money. Money in the cars. Cars in the clothes. What did it say next?
No man can serve two masters.
Uh-oh. Okay, I don't know what he's talking about. Let me close my Bible. What does he say?
For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other.
Uh-oh. What does he say next? Because I don't know what he's talking
about. He cannot serve God and mammon.
Oh, no. Mammon is money. He's saying if your eyes are on the money, your body is full of darkness. I got one person. But if your eyes is on the light, your body's full of light. It's good. Uh-oh, this is messing me up because y'all know what I want. I want to be successful. Hallelujah. Now, while you're up, give me John 11, verse 9 and 10, and then we're going to keep rolling. Let's get that mic to somebody else. If I see your head go down, you're getting the mic. Go ahead, Minister Troy. Minister Troy, go ahead. Give me John 11, verse 9 and 10. This is so important because I want you to see what our eyes do. It's what our eyes do. What does it say? John 11.
Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day?
Uh-oh.
If anyone walks in the day.
In the day.
He does not stumble.
Oh, okay. So if I walk in the day, hallelujah, I don't lose my witness. I don't lose my worship. You hear what I'm saying? I don't lose the fact that I saw the miracle. I'm not disabled. I'm not at a disadvantage. I'm not handicapped. You follow me? If I walk in the day, if I can see him. Okay, I ain't getting you. I'm going to get you. If I don't. Oh, don't play with you. I said, don't play with me. I'm about to get her a Bible. He's saying there's 12 hours in a day. That's metaphoric, all right? He's talking about his time on earth. He's saying if anyone walks in the day, right, he's the light. He does not stumble. You can't fall, which when you can see, you can't fall.
Come on.
Because he sees the light of the world. The light of the world is Jesus Christ. What's the next verse?
But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles.
But if somebody walks up in that night, he will stumble because what?
The light is not in
The him. Light's not inside of you. You haven't eaten the light. You don't see the light. What you see is inside of you. What you see becomes you. What you see consumes you. What you see becomes your worship. You become a witness that gives you the right to worship. And that becomes your miracle, which is none. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, I think I'm in Acts chapter 3, verse 4, I think. The Bible says, let me stay here for a second. That's the money piece. I got time, but I'm going to get you to the game. We in the game. Some of you still outside the game. I gotta say this, ladies. I'm gonna look at the men when I say this. Ladies are looking for the bag too. It ain't just men after the bag. The women after the bag too. The women are after the bag. I'm looking on YouTube for a break of reading the Bible, and I find myself into what they consider gold digger plant. Pranks. Gold digging planks. Pranks. Gold digging, right? So I'm watching the thing, and I'm like, I just can't be real. You got these regular looking dudes. Sometimes you got less than regular looking dudes, and sometimes you got above regular looking dudes approaching these women. What's up, shorty? That's how they talk now. They don't. What's up, shorty? Because they call you based on how you're dressing. On how you're looking. That's how they handicapping you, ladies. Come on. They dropping you off before you enter into the gate. Because they ain't taking you past the gate. You ain't gonna see their mama nothing. Right? And these brothers will go up to these women and be like, what's up? No, I'm cool. I'm good. I got a man. All right, cool. The brother will go around and jump into his car that's highly expensive car, and he start the car, right? And the girl will come back and be like, oh, this you? Hey, word up. Right? Word up, this you? Yeah, this me. You see me driving it, right? Right? And the dialogue will go, and it doesn't matter what the men look like, right? And the woman would get in the car, and the brother would be like, so, look, we're going to go back to my place. She was like, what you doing? We're going back to my place. That's where I'm going. I'm going back to the penthouse. You coming? If you come back to the penthouse, you know what's cracking. You know what's going on, right? And the lady will oblige. She say, yeah, you okay. You know, it's on. And I'm like, wow. This is legalized prostitution. The ladies are giving their most precious, valuable thing away for money.
Come on.
I ain't gonna get an amen for the men or the women. You're willing to lose your worship, which means you're denying your witness and you're denying the miracle. And when you deny the miracle, you're handicapped. You become a cripple. You're at a disadvantage. You are now disabled. Bible says that he sees the man. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, look at us. Give me verse 5. He says, look at us. And the man that was at disadvantage, he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. I love this because Peter made him focus in on him. The eye. Say the eye. To receive something from them. What does verse 6 say? But Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold. I love this part. You think he's saying I'm broke. Peter ain't broke. He has access to the wholesaler, to the king. He ain't broke. He just ain't carrying no money around. He says, But what I have, I give you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk. I love this. How do I say this? Does anybody know what's better than money? Somebody said God. Thank you, Lord. Somebody said God. How about this? Not worrying about money. Not having to worry about money. Listen, he told him, silver and gold I have, I none. Don't worry about that. But such as I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. Hallelujah. This is what I need you to understand, men and women. If we seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, all things shall be added to you. He already know what you need. But if you keep your focus on him, you're in his access. You can have whatever you ask. But this is the formula. My wife is occupied, so I got to use you. This is the formula. He takes him by the right hand. Go to the next verse. He takes him by the right hand. Right hand means agreement. It is the hand of power and authority.
Yes.
It means that he was willing, hallelujah, to make God his authority and not the money. So when he says get up and walk, the guy doesn't just get up and walk. There was a touching and agreement that occurred. His faith with my faith. I'll unpack this more on Wednesday because this brother had to have heard the miracle of Jesus Christ for this to even happen. Because there was no preaching. The only way you can have faith is faith comes by hearing. So he had to have heard the word of God. So now Peter removed money. Focus. Touch your neighbor and say focus. And he grabs him by the right hand, which means that he was willing to make God his worship. His faith connected to my faith. Amen. This is the, I don't know who I'm talking to. I want them to see us. We are men. Hear me. We are men. My wife, his wife around here somewhere. But the power of being unified.
Come on.
You take your disability and you make it an ability. Whatever you have a disadvantage on, you now have an advantage. Do you hear what I'm saying? You no longer are handicapped. Come on. One can chase 1,000, but two could put 10,000 to the fight. But understand, I don't know who I'm talking to, but some of your relationships are divided. Your marriage are divided. Your relationship with your family is divided. You're not married to the wrong person. Oh, I just want to, I didn't get no amens. I know on YouTube, we get Facebook. You're not married to the wrong person. The enemy is specifically creating, turn around, brother, division. And as long as we're divided, we are disabled. We are at a disadvantage. Come on, somebody. We lose the miracle because the miracle is when we're united. Why is that a miracle, Pastor? Because he said, when we're together, we're in his image.
Come on. That's so good. Thank you, Lord.
When we're unified, let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. Let's make man in our. Our is plural. So when we're together, there are no disabilities. We're not at a disadvantage. There's no handicap. There's no more crippled. We're now at an advantage. We're now winning. When we worship together, stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. And the Bible says the man that was once at a disadvantage, crippled, handicapped, he leaps up and he begins to walk. The word for walk in the Greek is peripatney. I'm messing it up. Go back and look at it. Praise the Lord. It's the Greek. Okay? I speak English. What it means is, it means to live. When you're in worship and you're unified, you're no longer at a disadvantage. You're now living. You're no longer worrying about the money anymore. So now some of you need to be praising God because now you can live. Hallelujah. The Bible says that this man, ankles began to instantly. This is the only time I got to make this point. When you touch and agree, things don't take a whole long time. That's why you can't get none done in your relationships. You can't get none done in your marriage. The devil knows that because once y'all get together, things happen. Immediately, the Bible says immediately, his ankles and his feet gained strength. What was once a disability became his strongest ability. So much so, the Bible says he began to walk. And now he's through the gates. And now he's through the gates. Guess what he's doing? Worshiping, leaping. Look. Leap with me, boy. Right? Hallelujah. So, the word leap means to advance abounding. Have a seat. It means to advance abounding. Let me minister. That means you who think that you were in your last days, you're in your later days, God will restore everything back to you that you lost as soon as you return to your rightful place of worship. Everything that was taken from you, everything that you won't go in as a novice. You will leapfrog them all because of your worship. And this man worships God. He worships God because he's a witness. He's a witness to what, y'all? A miracle. A miracle. And that's his testimony. That's why his life is worship. But when you deny your worship, you deny your witness, and you deny the miracle of Jesus Christ that you are. Now I'm going to read this last thing. And I want you to hear me good. While I'm getting this last thing, I want you to grab your cell phones. Because you know that we are application church. We are application church. And if we don't change, then we don't prove our witness, which means we're not worshiping, which means we're not acknowledging the miracle. I want you to write in your phone, don't cheat neither. Give me the one. I don't want the 11. The one disadvantage the one disability, the one handicap, that one thing that is preventing you from getting through them, those gates of celebrating with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, write that thing down. And as you write that thing down, Daryl, would you put up for me Acts chapter 4, verse 16 and 17? Acts chapter 4, 16 and 17. As you guys write that down, I need you to hear me. Hear me good, Israel Life Church. What you just saw me demonstrate was the power of Jesus Christ. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved, healed, nor delivered, but by that great name. And if there are a room full of witnesses that chooses to worship, we will see the miracles happen immediately inside of you and around you. This is what the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 16. It says, saying, what shall we do to these men? I just want to give you context. They arrested Peter and John for performing this miracle. They arrested them both for being worshipers. Know this, it's going to come a time in this country that's going to happen. I want to see what you're going to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were worshiping God. They blessed this man. He became healed. Once he became healed, everybody saw it, and they became believers in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see this text. Saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle have been done by them is manifested to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And watch this, y'all. We can't deny it. Did you hear what the text said? It says, look what it says. It says, we cannot deny it. Why are, family, church, why are we denying it? If they can't deny what they saw, why do we deny what we see? Why do we deny what we feel? Why do we deny what we've experienced by the power of God in our lives? Now watch, this is going to scare you, and it should make every one of you mad. What's the next verse say? 17. Hallelujah. He's going to fix it. Don't worry about it. But that it spreads no further among the people. Watch this. So that there's no a wide outspread of worship. So there's no widespread of witnesses. So that there's no widespread of miracles. Let's stop this thing. But that it spreads no further among people, let us threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Hallelujah. Give me my theme music back there, please. If you are somebody, hallelujah, that is dealing, that wrote something in your phone, listen to what I'm saying. This is something that we're going to do today. If you wrote something in your phone, I need you to join me up here at the altar. If you wrote something in your phone, join me here at the altar. And what I want you to do, if you wrote something in your phone, join me. I want you to lock arms with a person next to you. I just want you to lock arms with somebody next to you. And in this line right here, Jordan, I want you to back them up by the chairs. Keep me on TV. Keep me on the screen, because if you're at home, I want to touch and agree with you too. Only if you wrote something in your phone. Then I want them to come around in a circle. Like a huddle. I like the way that sounds. Like a huddle. Why a huddle, Pastor? Because we in the game. I want you to come all the way around. Hey, pretty girl. Look at that. We got a growing church, church. We got a growing church. Come all the way around. I want to be like a huddle. Because we're in the game. And there's never a time that we have to come out the game. We can stay in the game until he comes and returns. And I want to stay in the game. I don't never want to be outside the gates. They might not let me in. Come in the game. While you're gripping that arm, connect. I want you to connect. Touch her foot. Hey, baby, how you doing? How you doing? How you doing? I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to pray a prayer. And then following that prayer, I want you to worship with the person that is next to you, believing that that handicap, that disadvantage, that cripple, that disability is done away with, and that my eyes is no longer on money, but that my eyes is on Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your power and your authority right now, at the name of Jesus. These are your people who have written down their disabilities, their disadvantages, their handicaps, the thing that makes them stuck. And Father, we're asking you to trade it in for ability, for an advantage. Hallelujah. For our abilities to walk and to live again, Lord. Lord, I bind the disability in our minds. I bind the disability in our hearts. I bind the disability in our flesh. I bind the disability in our marriages, in our relationships, on the job. I bind doubt right now in the name of Jesus, God. And I lose the gift of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. So, Father, renew our eyes so that our bodies could be full of light. In the name of Jesus, we give you, hallelujah, we give you our walker. We give you our wheelchair. We give you our bandages. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't need them. Because by your stripes, we are healed. Yes, God. Yes. So God, for the next 30 seconds, we're going to unleash a worship to you. Believing, not knowing, but believing that we are at the advantage. Yes. We are in the game. Yes. And this is how we're going to prove we are witnesses of your miracle. Thank you, God. By this worship. 1, 2, 3.